From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, January 12th, 2017. And on this day, Maine's congressional delegation on what should happen to the Affordable Care Act and how a repeal would affect some Mainers. And a new font by a Portland designer brings the Cherokee language into the digital age. That's all ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
As we've been hearing today, the Republican-controlled Congress has taken its first steps in a complex process aimed at repealing the Affordable Care Act. Maine's congressional delegation is unified around the need for a promised replacement for the ACA, but its members have different views on how it should look. Mal Leary reports.
Congress is taking scores of votes as it uses a parliamentary tactic to carry out the repeal process. The goal for Republicans is to position the votes to only need a majority in each branch to pass the legislation and avoid the 60-vote threshold required to overcome a Senate filibuster. Republican Senator Susan Collins voted for the process. Independent Senator Angus King opposed it.
We're talking about something like 80,000 people in Maine whose insurance coverage is at risk, 15 or 20 million nationwide. The impact could be huge.
King points out that it took 2 years for insurers to implement the ACA and believes it could take as long to implement a replacement plan. He worries that could lead to a gap in coverage. Collins says she, too, wants to make sure that the replacement plan is in place before Obamacare is repealed.
That has been my position for a very long time. We do have to make sure that there is a system in place that takes care of individuals who are receiving subsidies.
Both senators agree that any replacement plan must prevent insurers from disqualifying consumers because of pre-existing conditions or capping benefits, and they want to protect the ACA provision that allows young adults to continue on their parents' insurance policy until age 26. Collins says the new plan should also address the problem of benefit cliffs, in which insured people lose their premium subsidies because of even a tiny increase in income.
The basic subsidy for your premium goes up to 400% of the poverty rate, but if you make a dollar more, you lose the entire subsidy.
Collins says she also wants to see provisions aimed at containing the costs of health care, which she says would help all Americans. Beyond the changes to the ACA, King says he's also concerned that some Republican House members will also try to restructure the Medicare program and introduce a voucher system that he says would shift more health care costs to seniors.
If they do that, I think they may end up losing the whole thing, because that's just not a good idea. I don't think anybody except this small group of ideologues in the House thinks it's a good idea.
First District Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, a Democrat, says that with more and more Americans signing up for the Affordable Care Act, the repeal effort is becoming a bigger political problem for Republicans, whose constituents want to know how the changes will affect them.
Some Republicans have a plan, but I don't think it will be a plan that makes the American public or current insurance carriers very happy. So I'm not sure how it will really play out.
Republican 2nd District Congressman Bruce Poliquin declined to be interviewed for this story, but issued a statement saying he supports the process underway because the program costs have become too high. He wants a replacement program that includes coverage for pre-existing health conditions and agrees that young adults remain eligible for coverage under their parents' health plan until age 26. But he also says he wants to eliminate job-killing taxes, such as the medical device tax, which are used to help pay for the ACA. It's expected there'll be several more debates in both the House and Senate before the issue's resolved. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
More than 19,000 Mainers will lose access to mental health and drug treatment if the Affordable Care Act is repealed. That's according to researchers at Harvard and New York University. At a time when drug overdose deaths are at an all-time high in Maine, healthcare advocates say the push by Republicans in Congress to repeal the ACA with no clear replacement will make the problem even worse. Patty White has more.
11,000 Mainers insured by Marketplace plans receive mental health treatment, according to the Harvard and NYU study. It's another 8,000 who receive treatment for substance use disorder. Study co-author Dr. Sherry Gleed of NYU says, remember, these are people who, prior to the ACA Marketplace, largely found health insurance unavailable or unaffordable.
If the Marketplace is repealed, those people would presumably go back to where they were before the law passed, and that is uninsured.
Gleed says taking away insurance coverage runs counter to efforts across the country to battle an opioid epidemic. Mallory Shaughnessy of the Alliance for Addiction and Mental Health Services in Maine sees it in more stark terms.
We have people dying every day, and this will just increase that.
Last year, Maine saw its highest number ever for drug overdose fatalities, 286 by the end of September. That beat the record-setting number from the year before, which had 272 deaths. As the state grapples with an increasing number of deaths, Shaughnessy says treatment options aren't keeping pace, especially for the uninsured.
We are not giving access to treatment to all the people who currently need treatment, and yet we're going to throw thousands more out of the system and deny them treatment.
The potential repeal of the ACA not only means the loss of insurance coverage, it also means the loss of provisions in the law that expanded access to behavioral health treatment. Though President-elect Donald Trump says the ACA won't be repealed without a replacement plan, Emily Brostek of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare says currently those replacements appear inadequate.
What you see by looking at the different replacements as a whole is we're talking about less coverage for people. We're talking about generally higher deductibles and fewer benefits being covered.
And when it comes to behavioral health in particular, says Dr. Sherry Gleed of NYU, cost matters.
You know, if you have a heart attack, even if you have a really high coinsurance or deductible, you're still going to go to the hospital. Even if you have to pay out of pocket, you're still going to go to the hospital. If you have a depression, that's actually going to be much more of a problem. So if you have to pay out of pocket for your depression treatment, you probably won't go.
Gleed also points out that Congress just passed the 21st Century Cures Act, which dedicates funding to increase the infrastructure for opioid treatment. But if people can't use that treatment because they don't have insurance, Gleed says, it does little good. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Most of us take fonts for granted, fonts as used for typefaces like Times New Roman, Calibri, Light, or Arial Bold. But fonts are important, particularly when you're trying to bring a native tongue like Cherokee into the digital age. Well, thanks to a passion of a Portland font designer, there's an app for that. And as Fred Bever reports, it can be an important tool for social change.
Roy Boney Jr. says the Cherokee tribes have a problem. As their elders die off, fewer and fewer young members are learning to read and write in their native tongue, and it's an endangered language. Even he is still working on it, and he's the manager of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma's language programs.
I'm learning to speak Cherokee, and I'm also learning to read and write the syllabary. Take care.
Did you notice that word? Syllabary. That's the Cherokee writing system invented by a tribe member named Sequoia 200 years ago. It has some 86 unique characters, each representing the sound of a particular Cherokee syllable. Some look similar to the Latin alphabet Western languages rely on, but others are unique. Loops and squiggles and little matrices unusual to the Western eye. And until recently, there have been few fonts available for printing texts in Cherokee, or more importantly these days, for texting and tweeting in the language. With Cherokee immersion schools established recently in Oklahoma and North Carolina, some tribe members were on the lookout for new fonts that would better represent the way they write their language. Enter Mark Jamra, a master type designer and professor at the Maine College of Art, who works out of a modest studio in downtown Portland.
I was really looking for something that was particularly meaningful.
Jammer says he'd grown weary with simply adding to the world's vast collection of Latin script fonts. Even the Slav Cyrillic script or Asia's Japanese and Chinese ideograms have been widely explored by the typeface set. But Cherokee offered a new challenge.
And just the learning that I went through, the amounts of things that I learned that I had never known before, it was just so gratifying. And then to know that you're designing something that's not one of tens of thousands of fonts, but something that really has or can have a tangible impact upon a language community.
The very first Cherokee font was cut by workers at a Boston foundry back when type was set in hot molds. And a version of that is available to use in Apple, Google, and Microsoft devices. But it's unwieldy, says Roy Boney, and sometimes just plain inaccurate. Boney says Jammer's design, it's called Foreus, provides a more flowing, elegant, and accurate version of the syllabary. It's unornamented, he says, closer to the way Cherokees write the language themselves.
It's similar to handwriting, so it has a bit of a flow to it. It's got a very nice curve design in it, and it's very pleasant to look at.
The Foreus font is finding its way into Cherokee culture through computer interfaces, texting apps, and a couple of children's books, Boney says. And in North Carolina, it's used in eye charts, helping Cherokee-speaking elders when they get an eye exam. The effort's success has inspired Jammer and his studio partner Neil Patel to look to other underserved languages in Africa.
We're developing a massive type system. It's kind of an insane project, but it's really also something that's going to break a lot of ground.
Jammer and Patel are developing new digital-friendly fonts for six different African writing systems and for numeral systems as well, some of which have been written for centuries, one for only decades. They say many African tongues have been overlooked by the digital world so far. They think their new fonts will become important social tools, helping to increase literacy, preserve cultural identity, and not least, facilitate online commerce. And it's a big niche. In contrast to the 10,000 or fewer Cherokee speakers they've served with the Foreus font, the new project has the potential to serve African language speakers who number more than 150 million. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, January 12th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.